Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Violation. Oh, you thought I was done?
Oh my God.
No.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kicking It.
Hey.
Already, we have cut Mo Adu. No show.
He's working for too many companies, too many networks.
It is what it is.
You ask, if you cut him, what network does he believe?
Multicolored. He's got a bit of this, a bit of that. He's all over the place. We're going to be all right without him?
We'll be able to make it work. He's missing out.
No guest today,
next
though.
Next man up, you know, just like when we played.
Next man up.
We don't have him next man up.
So, listeners, it turns out I was wrong, and we did have a guest. Our producers initially told us that we'd be running solo for the first episode, only to hit us with a curveball at the very last minute. What you hear next is my genuine surprise at seeing a living legend of the global game walk onto set to hang out with me, Clint, and Charlie. So sit back and enjoy the first of a two-part conversation with a man who needs no introduction, our friend and Paramount Plus colleague, Mr. Thierry Henry.
Okay, so let's start by talking about US men's national team players, right? It feels like, obviously, we've had some, like, important moves. What?
Nothing. Some important moves.
Important moves about what?
For U.S. men's national team players over the transfer window, so you've got Christian Pulisic, who's going to AC Milan. You've got Tim Weah, who's going to Juventus.
Can I borrow a book?
You weren't supposed to be here, were you?
I'm almost supposed to be here.
Hey, so can we figure out what happened here? You are on vacation in the Hamptons, chilling, and you just decided to come say what's up.
Yeah, because you guys are good people. So family is family, so you're part of the family.
Hey, thanks.
No, seriously, I mean, I don't do stuff that I don't want to do. So you guys are cool. Obviously, I've been asked to do it. It wasn't a problem. I was around. But mainly it's because you guys are cool. And we're going to talk about football. So, I mean, it's a double bill for me.
So we were about to talk about the U.S. men's national team players, Christian Pulisic. We were talking about going to AC Milan. What does the noise mean?
No. Not annoying.
No, just, what does the noise mean?
No, because we're going to have to talk about him again, which I understand. But
are you tired of talking about him?
No. But you cannot repeat the same thing. And I always said at one point he needs to show us what he can do. Then we can talk about different stuff. And I can see, I had a discussion with Pete, actually, the other day, if I can mention him. I can see that in the national team, is allowed to make mistakes. So therefore, if you're allowed to make mistakes, you'll try. When you are in an environment where you feel like you cannot make mistakes, you're not going to try that dribble or that volley, because you know if you miss that volley, you have an hour, because you're in a big club. If you don't score halftime already, people are like, you're not starting, you don't score before halftime, so you play safe. You get the ball, you pass it back, which, as a creative player, if you don't try to make mistakes, then therefore you cannot succeed. I can see the national team. It feels like I can make mistakes. right? So therefore, out of 20 mistakes, if you succeed two times, it's a goal and an assist. People forget your mistakes. When you play in a big club, you take the ball one time, mistake. Next time you touch it is 15 minutes after. People remember that every time you touch the ball, you lost it. In a national team, he plays with that confidence. I mean, we were all creative players here, so you have to score. So if you feel in your head that I can't lose that ball, you might as well step out. Just step out of the field and don't play, because if you don't want to make mistakes, and the best thing I would say that recently I understood is it's okay to make mistakes, which is sometimes, you understand, there is an in-between thing where, you know, sometimes you're so scared to make mistakes that you don't pass that line. And I think that's where he was at times at Chelsea.
I would say it's certain mistakes. It's the mistakes, if he takes risks in the right parts of the field, you say, okay. But in his mindset with the national team, sometimes he takes those risks closer to his own goal. Or he takes it in an inopportune space where a defender can lay him out and then he's injured. And then he's got to battle back to fitness. In a club like Chelsea, you have so many players, you have depth. Whereas at a Milan, there's a big drop off after player 12, 13, 14, where he might have that comfort to know, well, no one's really pushing underneath me. If Pioli comes out and says, I want you as my, either it's a 10 or a winger, there's a big difference as, oh, we're buying you, now you're added depth. And if you take your chance, you take your chance. But if you don't at a club like Chelsea, it's hard to find your balance within the squad.
I mean, you guys know that for a fact. You know, I give you mine. At one point, if I wanted to play at Arsenal, I had to put Dennis Bergkamp, Marco Vermaels, or Onyango Kanu on the bench. And I know I had one out. Because if not, you're out. However you want to look at it, it's 90 minutes, but it's not 90 minutes. This is what starts to creep in you when you know, you're like, you look and the boss sends Dennis Bergkamp or Onyango Kanu or Marco Vermaels or Sylvain Wiltord or whoever, or in a national team, I'm not going to any team, and you're like, that's me soon. You don't play it the same way. You feel like when you get that ball, you need to do something now. Suddenly you don't see the game the same way. Suddenly you don't play the same way. Suddenly you rush things instead of being, okay, I made one mistake, no problem. You look, okay, I'm staying on that field. When you have that confidence, that's when you go above and beyond. And yes, obviously the quality of the players, again, not having a goal at Milan, but when you play at a certain club and you feel you can do something, then that's when you start to, you're like, you volley the ball because you volleyed that ball. Like, if you were in a big club, maybe you don't volley that ball that early in your career, but you need to pass that. You need to earn that right also. And it goes with the, you can make mistakes.
You know that thing that you were talking about, the ability to maintain playing with freedom, though? Is that, like, very much based on character? Because you were, you know, you've told us that stories about when you weren't starting, right? And the way that you reacted to not being started at Fulham, for example, right?
Yeah.
Like, you felt like, what the heck? Like, I deserve to be starting. You guys are making a mistake. So is it very much a character thing, whether it affects you in that way that Thierry was talking about?
I think some people it affects them, but at the same time, the way I look at it was, shit, if I'm not playing, and then I get my chance to play, let me do the shit that I wanted to do, because otherwise I want to fail playing the way I love to play the game than trying to be what somebody else wants me to be, right? So when I'm complaining about not getting time to be on the field, well, go out there and show them. So I have to go out there and show them. So I'm going to empty the clip. I'm going to shoot the ball. I'm going to try to get goals. I'm going to try to get assists. I'm going to try to make an impact. And then, like he says, you fight for more minutes, you get out there, and the more quality that you have on your team, it's more difficult to stay in that lineup week in and week out, especially with injuries.
I've always been a player who tried to make everyone around me know that I'm the truth. Like, I'm a baller. Like, no matter in what scenario, what circumstance, I wanted the coach to say, if we're playing two strikers, one striker, whatever the scenario, we're going to play high press, we're going to sit back, that I could fit into any coaching scheme or scenario. And that was my mentality. Is when I went to Europe, it was Sweden, it was a lower league, but it was a good step for me to build myself up. And when I went to Ligue 1, right away, I felt that my first training session, everyone was assessing me, every touch, every movement. And I knew I had to prove myself right then and there to say, I'm one of you guys, I'm a real one. And I got that moment in training where
I ISO'd somebody 1v1, did it, and scored. And I felt that moment, everyone went, ah, okay. He's got it. So I think for Christian, he's feeling that the expectations are high from Americans. And he had a few good seasons, a few good moments in the Premier League, but it's consistency that is needed to reach that next level.
It all depends on how where you are mentally as a player and what you can do. I think sometimes a certain style that fits a certain, you know, league. So back in the days, if you were not old school number nine, shall I say, it was better, I think, for you to be in Italy, because it was accepted that number nine will be the plus guy. He doesn't have to run too much but score goals. You know, in England, it's different. You have to flick the ball, you have to run into the channel, you have to give. It's different in different leagues. I just think, for me, that it's not only a matter of league, it's a matter of who you are and what you want to do. And having the confidence of expressing yourself. And it goes to what I said before, and I know it sounds stupid and everything, but don't be scared to make mistakes. That's what stops a lot of players. If you don't try to make mistakes, then you'll never succeed. And like, I will give you the goal against Man United. So many times people said, why did you do that? Because I knew at Highbury I could do what the fuck I wanted.
New CBS Sunday.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
When something is lost,
everyone's looking for something.
He finds it.
You strong swimmer?
So-so.
So-so. So-so's okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions, and you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker. New Sunday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
So, turning point for me at Arsenal was we beat Middlesbrough, I think, 5-0. If I remember well, Kanu scored one, Dennis Bergkamp scored two, Overmars scored two, something like that. I stayed on the bench, didn't come on.
Is this your first season?
Yeah, stayed on the bench, didn't come on. Dennis Bergkamp. Davor Šuker was also on the, I think Šuker came on and scored, whatever, 5-0.
Mm-hmm.
Davor Šuker, Yanko Kanu, Dennis Bergkamp, Mark Overmars. And I didn't come on. And we won 5-0, so I'm like, yeah. What am I supposed to do with that one? I always remember, when back in the dressing room, nobody looked at me. You know how it is. Nobody cared, we won. Nobody cared about me. You didn't participate. You can't make us win. What shall I care about you? People only care about you when you can, it's a team sport, unfortunately. You know, and I know you can, you know, we can win together. I'm gonna help you. If not, they don't look at you. Going back in the dressing room, I had to go back to St. Albans. So, I looked at them, I was like, man, I didn't even play. How am I going to ask anyone to bring me back to that hotel that I'm supposed to be back when they all live in London? So I went out, I don't know if you know Highbury, I went out straight in the street on Avenue Road, I had my Arsenal tracksuit with my bag, and I went to the subway to go to take the Thames. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I went back to St. Albans.
You took the subway back?
Yeah, I did at the time. Like, it looked like I was a fan.
Did anyone say anything to you at that
People
time?
Were, like, looking at me, but it looked like I was a fan, to be fair, and I was rubbish anyway, so I wasn't playing well, I wasn't there. We just won five, you know, they didn't see my name on the board. I wasn't, you know, I didn't do anything yet. Anyway, I go back, I'm on the train, I'm thinking, how can I play? Like, how can I play? How am I going to put Dennis Bergkamp, Nyong'o Kanu, Davor Šuker, or whoever on the bench? Like, how? How am I going to do that? So I went back home to the hotel, wherever I was. And I started to try to beat all of them at everything that they were doing. Everything. So it's Dennis Bergkamp used to arrive first in training. So this guy won everything already, player of the season. He's there every morning before me. Am I missing a point? He's doing everything, the drills, he does them to the T. Like, sometime I will fuck around, ball comes, you know, right foot, left foot. The ninth time you try to flick one, turn around and flick it. Dennis Bergkamp, control pass. I'm looking at him, I'm like, okay. Scores a goal, I used to score two and look at him. So then he looks at me back and he scores two, and I have to score. Then, you know, I was trying to match them in everything that they were doing. Then after you have to deliver on the field, you have to take that free kick also away from Dennis Bergkamp. You have to take the penalty away from Dennis Bergkamp. You have to take the keys away from Dennis Bergkamp. How do you do that? From not coming on the field, how do you do that? You never won there. He won. He's got there. How do you move that guy? So, man, I woke up early every morning and I had to show him the best respect I could pay the guy, show him I was better than him every day in training. The way you eat your salad, I'm going to eat that better than you. Yeah, the way you walk, I'm going to walk better than you. You look at me, I'm going to look at you better than you look at me. Then he gave me the key. It took a little while, but then he gave me the key.
And what was that moment? When did you know he gave you the key?
Well, you know, you're taking free kicks. The ball was rolling, nobody goes and get it. Sometimes they used to bring you the ball. I know, bring you the ball. But then it took 2.5 years, 3 years. But I was showing him that he could give me the key every day in training. Like, he scores one, I said to you, I used to score two. And on walking past him, I used to look at him like this. You know. But this is, I always said, besides the freaks, Dennis Bergkamp is the best player that I played with for that. First in training, last. Drills, the same way. His vision, the way he used to see the game. It's like, and he was nasty. That's the thing I used to love about him. He was nasty. Dennis was nasty as hell. Elbow in the face, stepping on your foot. He was nasty. I don't know if it's right to say that, but I like that part also about him. He used to look after himself. But that's the part. This is why that day when we were on air doing the show, and I said, hey, you got to bring something on the table. Like, you think Dennis Bergkamp's going to help you if you can't help
talking
him?
Talking about Pulisic again.
Yeah. Oh, I can't play. Like, what do you mean you can't play? But show us something for us to at least debate on something, not on you're supposed to be the next best guy. Oh, we know that. I think he has all the quality in the world. But at one point, give me something to talk about. And I think for me that move to go to Milan, to go back to it, is the right combo, because the club is big in history, but you wouldn't say right now is the biggest club in Europe. And I think he will have the time to play, but don't ever forget that Milan is a big club and the fans are demanding. So he's gonna have to deal with something else also. You know, at Chelsea, you lose, you can go and walk around in London. Milan, hey.
Get stuck at the stadium.
Woof. It's a different thing. So right. Wherever you go, you're going to have to deal with something. The fans, the coach.
Do you think he has that dog in him that he's going to need to have?
You know what? It's kind of like I said to you, in brackets, I see that fire when he plays for the US. So him at the World Cup, this is why I called what I called, and people were the 1-1 against England. Because I don't know why, when you guys play England, you play England with no fear, with no complex, with no we're the US, they're bigger than us. Mm. When you play England, I don't know why. I know if you play England in every World Cup, I don't think you will lose once. Why,
so far,
I'm asking you a question, why is that? Why do you raise your game? I never understood, because why don't you play Brazil and look at them and go like, we can beat those guys. With England, there is a, when you play England, I don't know why.
Yeah.
I see in the celebration, even the paper, but there is a story behind it to say, you know, the US won against England 1-1 or something like that. It says a lot. Why don't you guys sometimes think that you are at the level of anyone in the world? When it comes to England, you believe that. You believe that you play those guys, so we can beat those guys. You're not like, oh, it's going to be tough tomorrow. We play Brazil. Let's see what can happen. When you play England, that's why I called the 1-1. You played better than them that day.
We call the time. What did Jamie say? He said they're going to win 3-0. Oh.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Is the dialogue different, though, in the dressing room? Is there a noted difference in atmosphere?
I mean, I think that the fact that you have players who played in the Premier League in the last two times we've had them in the World Cup, I can't speak on the one that happened in the past, but there's a familiarity. You know, you've seen these guys, you played against them, you're not scared of them, you know what I mean? But, like, when you play against some of these players from, like, let's say South America and stuff like that, that are playing at Real Madrid, Barcelona, or at, you know, the big clubs from these other countries, there's a little bit, for some players, there is a little bit more of that fear because of the individual quality of some of those players that can beat you in one-on-one situations. I just felt like when we played against England, I also feel they play with such a pressure on their shoulders from back home because of the magnifying glass.
You know it also because you played there.
Yes.
So you know it.
So I think they're aware of that pressure. Whereas, like, the U.S. is also the underdog, right? And they know that, hey, we go out and match them with the intensity, and if we bring our best, we'll be in this game. I just felt like in those games, players would step up because they wanted that opportunity because they knew what it was like to be playing in that country and play against them. So a little bit of the familiarity. That's what I think. I don't know.
Is there another U.S. player that you think in your mind could excel at the highest level?
I just think that it's kind of weird how, look, people always will name individuals, right? Because that's how it is, that's sports. But you win as a team. We always say that a team has to be good. Like, I remember South Korea, I'm not going to go back, and you can take Man City to an extent. Alan didn't score in the final of the Champions League. He didn't score against Real Madrid home and away. He didn't score in the final of the cup. They won the treble because they're a good team. People always want to, Pulisic, who is the next one? They have to build a team in order to win. Michael Jordan without Pippen, and Horace Grant, and. So we all know that. Then after when you win, we can talk about individuals, but people always go about the thing the wrong way. Who's the next guy? No, can we build a team that's going to be competitive? I think that's important also. Like when I was in the MLS, I'm going to use Dax McCarty because I'm going to use Dax. I thought Dax was still more than a decent player in the MLS. He had an amazing career when you look at it in the MLS. But he always was like, I wish, or if I had a European passport, and I was like, why do you bring yourself down? What do you mean? If I had a European passport, is that why you think that you're not playing? I'm not having a go. Again, I repeat, I think that Dax was brilliant for us, for the Red Bulls. Then obviously he's still doing it with Nashville and whatever. But that belief that...
Take that risk.
Like, no, not even the risk. Just like right from the start, you're saying it's because I am. What do you mean? Like if I take my guy, I can't even say that. But if I take George Weah, he's from Liberia. In the time where in Europe we only had 3 foreigners playing in teams. Not 4, not 5, only 3. You had to make sure that you were part of the 3 playing for the big Milan. Did he say for himself, I'm Liberian, man, it's going to be tough for me? If you said that right from the start to yourself, that I cannot, or it's because, then you don't work on yourself because you're thinking that it's different things that will stop your progression. It might be, by the way, I'm not saying, but you, if you already doubt yourself, I mean, who's gonna believe in you?
I take risk as also being a mentality, right? Like, but there's a will, there's a way, right? So like your situation, I know certain countries you need a visa, work permit, you need to be paid a certain amount of money if you're in the Eredivisie or whatever, but like you figured out a way to go to Europe, right? Maybe you start in Sweden, maybe you start in Denmark or something. Mm-hmm. And it's like you said, the mentality to take the risk, right? To put yourself like, look, if I have to start at the bottom or, you know, start in here to get to there, then that's what you have to do. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of, it's tough to take those chances, to not be around family and what you're used to put yourself in those environments.
But believing, look, Kate, believing is cliche, right? People always talk about if you believe, then you can do it. You know, like, but it's so true. If you right from the start believe that you can achieve something, that's the start of everything.
Well, we were at dinner the other day and we were talking about the pay-to-play system and Clint was kind of breaking that down for me. You're kind of talking about the system that develops youth, right? Do you look at that and think that that's, hey, this is that's a problem in this country, in America?
Big time, massive. I understand how the MLS works. Let me rephrase that. Sometimes I do understand how the MLS works. That's another subject for another day. But look, you had the Jean-Marc Guillou did it in Ivory Coast. I forgot the name of the guy that did it in Mali. That generation that you saw, the Ivorians, all came out. You know, the Haruna Dendane, the Kader Keita, the Torres brothers, Zokora. I'm not going to name them all because it's a guy, he went to Ivory Coast and he opened an academy. Jean-Marc Guillou, and he said that the best players can come here, we're going to scout them. Then a generation of 20, I think it lasted for 4 years. All those guys became professional. Suddenly, oh, it's so weird. The best train with the best, with a guy with a brain, and you can't tell me that some countries don't have the possibility to do that. Yes, you do. That's just the will of wanting to. Those guys ended up winning the African Cup of Nations. Yaya Touré is one of the best players you've seen in the Premier League. Kolo Touré won the Stade Unbeaten with us and won the league with Man City. Nearly won it with Liverpool. I mean, we can that generation. Boom, stop. He left. Academy stopped. So it's just an example of if you want, with the right person, with the right attitude, with the right commitment, with everything, you can. Now, why people don't want to do it, I actually don't know, but it is doable. I'm sorry.
Well, it's business, right? It's why people don't want to do it.
Well, ultimately,
if you're looking at this country.
Yeah, in a way. Yes, it is. But ultimately, people forget one of the most important thing. When I went to Clairefontaine, to say that now seems obvious.
Clairefontaine, which is the French academy.
From 13 to 16 years old. So I know it's obvious to call it now and say, oh yeah, obviously. No, not obviously. At the very beginning, it was 16 to 19. Okay, then they went, no, we need to train our kids earlier. So 13 to 16, okay? Technique, understanding space, left foot, right foot. So already when I arrived at 16 years old, I've been training every day. Not 3 times a week, every day with the ball, okay? And the aim of Clairefontaine was how many players are going to play in the national team. Not how many we're gonna sell, how many of them are going to play in the national team. So if you aim high, you can only fall after that, right? If you aim at how many of them is going to be professional or whatever, obviously, understand me well, you have to be good at school and mm-hmm. all the things around that. But it was about how many players are going to play for the national team. That's the only business. That's the only, what do you want? You want your national team to do well. You're telling me in the US, if you take kids from 13 to 16, the best, following a good coach with a good brain, at a young age, repeating skills, understanding space, not going in the gym. Who goes in the gym when you're 13? You don't need to go in the gym when you're 13. You don't have a body yet. Repeating left foot, right foot, understanding space, when to play the ball, when not to play the ball, repeat for 3 years. You tell me those guys are going to be dumb?
No, I mean, you've put your son in a system whereby, go on, sorry.
No, I have my son in the system, and now, lucky enough, my oldest son is in a situation where it's not pay to plays with the Charlotte FC Academy. You know what I mean? But like what he's saying, it's going out and putting, you get out the dirt. You get the answers out the dirt. You got to go put in the work. You got to work on both feet. You got to be in certain situations, understanding when you shoot on the goal, you're not just shooting as hard as you can. You're placing the ball into the corner. You're using both feet. You're being able to look at the goalie, where he's at, and be able to place the ball. Being smart, how to have a good first touch gives you more time and space. Like, you have to, like, if you were able to teach that to the youth, then it starts that you're able to do it at a quicker pace and think faster.
No, but it's funny that you're saying that because I can give you the name of my coach. my coach, sorry, Joaquim Francisco Filho. Like, I give you the name, you don't even, look, you don't even know, it doesn't ring a bell, right? Because right. nobody knows him.
This is but, the academy coach.
Yeah, and this is the guy that should be known more than any other coach that I know. And I love Pep, as you know, whatever. But this, the guy, Joaquim Francisco Filho, and I think I told you some stories. Like, one, you believe it, oh yeah, you will believe that, but all I had when I was young is I was fast. I swear, that's all I had. And I couldn't, I needed 20 1v1 with the goalkeeper to score. No joke, 20, easy.
Sounds like Charlie.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Is there somebody that you feel like changed your game in the way that Thierry is saying, sorry, what was his name?
Joaquim Francisco Filho.
Joaquim Francisco Filho.
I think in my scenario, I was a little bit different than most kids, because I grew up in New Hampshire, which, one, it's all white kids that didn't play soccer for the most part. It was the least popular sport. But my father's from Gambia, and football was his sport. Mm-hmm. So when he came here, he never even put that on me. He said, I'm not even gonna push you to do that. If you wanna do it, then I will take you to the field. And so I came home thinking I have a slip to play American football. I was excited because that's all I played. And he lit up and he said, this is what you wanna do. I said, yeah. He said, let's go and go to the store. And I thought, okay. And then he brought me to a tryout.
Did you pick up the wrong slip?
Yeah. he brought me to the store, he bought me boots, shin guards, a ball. And
you realize you were getting kitted out for the wrong event?
Yeah, and I didn't say anything.
Why? Because you don't want to hurt
him? I was afraid of my father, and there is an article that you talked about. You want your father, you want that connection, that emotional connection. Because a lot of African fathers don't give you that I love you, kiss you, or anything like that. But I knew I would make him happy if I went through with this. So I went through with it, and it didn't work out. I didn't know what I was doing. But he pulled me aside after. He said, do you want to be good? I said, yeah, I want to be good. And he said, every day after that, picked me up from school, we go to the field until the sun went down, every day. And in 2 weeks, that's it. The coach who cut me from that tryout called my father and said, hey, will Charlie come play for us now? He said, no, thank you. And he took me to the crosstown rival. not only did he train me every day, but he'd pull videos, VHS tapes, of you.
Wow.
Of Ronaldo. You were my role models. I didn't have any. My father, he is as good as he was for me to put me in this work ethic.
He couldn't demonstrate the plays.
He it was more of how he acted as a father sometimes. You know, he had demons, you know, with drugs and, you know, being a good husband to my mom. So I knew that's not who I wanted to be when I was older. But I also appreciated that he was gonna give his time to help me try and find a way to be the best version I can be to have a successful life. He always said, I want you to be better than I was. I want you to have a better life than me. But I didn't have a role model that I could talk to, because it was more, this is your work, I'm gonna push you. Mm. But I looked up to him, I looked up to Ronaldo, and I said, I wanna be you. I didn't wanna be my dad, I wanted to be you. And so that was what was driving me. And I loved the work. I would do more. My dad would make me run 3 miles before every practice. We'd do a 2-hour practice, and I'm 8, 9, 10. Mm. Kids are out riding their bike, kids are playing with chalk, I'm on the field. And a lot of kids in the neighborhood would be like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? And my answer would be like, because I have to. There's no other way. That this is my only way to success, this is my only ticket. And then I'd do hills. And I remember when I was about 14, 15, I could start to see it pay off. And at that point, I went to a private boarding school where that was, yeah, education, but I knew this is my goal, this is my ticket to providing for my family, but also realizing the dream.
When you say that, providing for my family, mm-hmm. you don't mean children at that point, you meant your parents.
I was on welfare. Sometimes I didn't know where my next meal was coming from. And sometimes I had to go out and go to the grocery store with food stamps. And, you know, one of the most humiliating moments as a kid is to go to a grocery store with my younger brother, who's 2 years younger than me. So I'm acting like I'm his father and his brother at the same time, while my mother was in a psychiatric hospital because she was dealing with a lot of mental illness and you know, try to commit suicide a few times. And my father would sometimes go on his you know, drug bin. And so I'm going to shop for my family. And so I'm going to the grocery store, I'm checking out. I can, you know, you have $60 to buy everything you can. I can't cook, my brother can't cook. So, you know, sometimes it's cereal, it's fruit, it's vegetables, whatever you can eat. And I'm going to the checkout line, and then the checkout person goes, aisle 5, like processing food stamps, I don't know what I'm doing. And so now everyone in the store, I felt like, looks at you. And then I have to walk, you know, 2 miles from the grocery store to my apartment.
And you were conscious at that age of what that meant. It made you feel some kind of way that people knew you were using food stamps.
I was as embarrassed as you can possibly be. I was humiliated.
Dang.
But all I could do was think about eating. There's no other option.
Man, I felt like I knew you, and now you saying all that, I feel like I don't know you very, like I don't know a lot of the stuff that you've been through. Did football change your relationship with your father? Did it make it better?
Yeah, because I wanted the love.
Did you get it through football?
Yeah. My father never missed a game. Mm-hmm. Never missed a game. With all the demons he had, and we still have a really good relationship.
Mm.
So second grade was the first time my mother had a mental breakdown. And she was put in the mental hospital. And then third grade, she tried to commit suicide. She took 96 pills at once. And I was tasked with, you know, in the back seat, my dad said, keep her up, because if she falls asleep, she's not gonna make it. So I'm in third grade trying to keep my mom up. And I knew that the only way I was gonna have at least one parent like with me all the time is my dad and having that connection with soccer. So I enjoyed because I felt connected to him, but I saw what it was doing for me. As I played games, I was getting better and getting better. I wanted to work harder because I felt like I was getting closer. And it wasn't until when I was 14 or 15 that I really saw myself becoming a professional if I continued.
Man. Your mom's still with us.
My mom and my father are still together. They're happy and healthy. They're in San Diego. I think that foundation of being able to prevail and keep things in, I never told my friends. Mm. I didn't have a big extended family what I was going through. I kept everything inside. And it was always to the next day, to do what you gotta do to get to the next day. So when I had issues further down the line in my life, I knew what I could lean on, which was like, just getting through it, get to the next day. Don't think about the past, because you're never gonna make it. I can't move forward if I'm always holding on to the past. Mm. So that's why I was able to overcome some of the things that I did, because I knew that's the only way to move forward.
Man, you've dealt with a lot in life. Cancer, the car accident, all of that as a young kid, that's real, that's hard stuff.
And the only reason I share that and I'm so open is because I've seen other people have similar issues and they're not able to talk about it because it's such a personal thing. But when I have talked about it, people have reached out to me and said that I needed to hear mm-hmm. that.
Right.
That has helped me. I went through that and I was ashamed. I felt this embarrassment. And now that you share that and you've gone to places that you've gone, you can be so open about it, now I don't feel as guilty or I don't feel as embarrassed. Now I know there's light at the end of the tunnel. Because if you hold on to it, for me, I live every day like it could be my last. That's why I could work, I just know I want to do as much as I can every single day, because I know it, not every day is guaranteed.
Amen.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
It is a question. So first and foremost, thank you for sharing that, because that's a lot. And I can see you're in a better place, shall I say, because you're talking about it. All right, that's the first step, to be able to share that, not only with us, but with everybody. It's amazing, because I struggle with it. I'll share that. Like, I'm trying to, you know, like the stuff that I hear all the time, that's what I wanted to hear when I was young. And I couldn't care less about hearing it, but like everyone tells me how great I was. I wanted to hear it from my dad. You understand what I mean? So only one guy beats a billion. But I wanted to hear it from my dad. So like I'm still trying to find that guy. You know, and I share that so many times, you know, like that guy is at the bus stop, still waiting for the bus that will never come. How am I going to bring that guy with me and what I know now and how I'm at peace in a way, but when I think, as you said, deeper, and I go back to that little man, I'm sad because I will never get it. I will never get that approval from my dad, because my dad never approved anything. It was never good enough, like a bit different, you know? Regardless of what it was. It was always there, like yours or whatever. But this is why I'm asking you, because, you know, this is why I'm asking you the question, because you said, oh, this is who I am. Yes and no. Yes, this is who you are, that you had to become to fit in, right? Because you had to. Like I always say, like if you have only one choice, then you don't have the choice. That's the only thing that you have that you don't have. If you have one choice, you don't have it. So you had to. But now, let's say, you know, you need to go back and speak to the little Charlie. This is what I always say when people meet me. Sometimes it's like, oh my God, you know, I met my hero, you know, and I said, first and foremost, I'm no hero, first. And second of all, the best decision that you can ever have is with yourself. That little guy, is he satisfied? Is he happy? Is he with you? Because sometime along the way of you trying to reach who you can be, who you had to become, you leave that guy behind because of exactly what you said. You, when you dare, I won't say you have said me now. I don't, in a way, because we grew up with guilt. Okay, I explain. The first thing you do when you cry, you say, I'm sorry, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Why?
Because your concern is making someone else uncomfortable,
We do. It's like even you're embarrassed. You're like, mm-hmm. Oh, I shouldn't be crying. But why? It's an emotion. You shouldn't be crying if you want to cry. So the feeling of going back to that, you know, I always, you know, it's not me saying that, but I like that quote, you know, what you fear will master you. So to avoid that discussion, to avoid that feeling of feeling even more so vulnerable, but the proper one, not, this is why I'm like, I'm amazed that you said it with you said it so easily, you know, which is not something easy to say, but also a sense when you say, you know, that's the way I am. That's the way you had to become to succeed. But you can always reflect on, am I with myself? When I talk about myself, is the inner child, the little guy. Is he satisfied? And when you go back to that question, oh man, it's tough because I know for me, with all the success that I had, regardless, we'll have a story, and man, your story is crazy. If I tell you mine, I'm sure the same, get you the same. But at one point when you reflect about what happened to that little guy, because he ultimately, and you when even more, you know, with the car accident, obviously. But what happened to that little guy? Is he with me?
The reason why I can say it with so ease is because that little guy is with me. Because I had the opportunity, who my dad never, ever, I'd score 4 goals in a game, you should have scored 6. Yeah. You should have scored 10. You lost that 1v1. You didn't shoot from outside. You only shot with your right. Why didn't you shoot with your left? Near post versus far post. What were you thinking in this situation? That was my childhood. Until I got to a point where I got to the youth national team and I started playing well. And I got MVP at this tournament in Milk Cup in Northern Ireland. And then I could start to see how proud he was of me. And it changed from you're not good enough to you're better than me. You're better than I ever imagined. I'm so proud of you, but keep going. And so I look at the little Charlie and I think it's pride that I feel considering what I had to come from and fight through. And so I've also forgiven my father for the way that he acted. And I know in certain situations he said, I'm doing what's best for you. But sometimes the way he treated my mother, the way he treated me and my brother, that's ultimately not what I should be seeing or having to deal with. But given the circumstances, I know he was trying to his best, given the temptations and demons he was dealing with, to get me to have a better future. So I still have such a good relationship with my parents. And I think what I'm really fortunate to have is my wife, who I met in college when I was still naive and young. If I didn't have her, I never would have made it, because she's the one who came from a good family, who could tell me right from wrong in situations I didn't know, I didn't have that. And so to go through the things I still overcame, I still probably couldn't have done that without her. So she was the one that really kind of helped me continue to stay on the right path through it all. So
what was it you needed an example of? It was love that you needed to see how to live that out, or relationship, or what?
Real love. Like affection, seeing how like a husband and wife should act and treat one another. And I never had a role model or example, and you say, don't call me a hero, but that's what you are to me. And when I told you in 2011, when we played against each other for the first time, this is my first season back, I had, you know, near death experience. I'm fortunate to live. But here we are, starting 11, got to shake hands with everyone, and my hero walks across and says, good luck. But it wasn't just like any normal, hey, good luck. You looked at me in my eyes and you said, keep going. Bon courage. And that to me was everything. Everything. My hero, who I idolized my entire career as a kid, that once I knew what the sport was, you kept pulling me forward. And so that's when I told you that meant the world to me.
Take a look at a sneak peek of next week's episode of Kicking It, part 2 of Thierry Henry.
For the first time in my life, I felt like I was a human being. Not because I play for Arsenal, you like me. For the first time, they saw the little Thierry. The little Thierry got that love. Like, for the first time, I put my bags down and I went, hey, they see me.
And I wish I'd have had someone like you, coach, that could help me more. I had great coaches, they helped me. But like, a coach that you had, something like that, what could I really done?
Right.
I did okay.
Like the other day, I was watching a video, because my son wanted to see a video of me, because he never saw me play. And it's kind of weird, because I enjoyed it. I looked at it, I was like, damn.
That was all right.
That was kind of nice.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.